Well, it is good to see you this morning, and we pray the Lord's blessing be upon you as we look into God's Word together. I was thinking as Brother Steve made announcements this morning about those cookies, if you can help out with that, those can be bought. Those can be made by you. They can be your own personal creations. I'm partial to peanut butter. Walnuts, pecans, macadamia nuts. I don't know if I've ever had a macadamia nut. It just sounded neat to say. Macadamia nut. Yes, so if you can help out with that, that'd be greatly appreciated. As always, you do it every year. We so greatly appreciate that, and thank you. Also, just one more mention about the well project back there for Guatemala. As you go out, you'll see that. As you come in, it's on your right. You go out, it'll be on your left. But our little water container is there, and there will always be envelopes in that basket so that if you just want to take an envelope and make another contribution to that as days go along, anything that you'd like to do, God blesses you with something, and you say, well, I want to share that with the Guatemala Fund, you can take one of those envelopes, fill that out, and that would be greatly appreciated. Last thing, I'll tell you what, I was just about in tears when Meredith was singing. Not because I think somebody needs to teach her how to sing, but because there was a time, I remember, where she had surgery, and it was unknown if she would sing again. Did you hear it today? Isn't that a miracle? Glory to God. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Second Corinthians chapter number 4 in your Bible with me. Second Corinthians chapter number 4. Don't want to be long. Don't want to cut into any of our Sunday school time. We'd love to have you come and stay, be a part of the Sunday school. We also want to remind you, tonight is the church call to prayer, as was announced this morning in our bulletin as well. Want to invite you to come on out and join us. Our church call to prayer, our emphasis tonight is we pray about other things for our church family and so forth. I just really feel tonight, if you want to come and join us, there's really a great need for us to continue to be in prayer for the nation of Israel. As goes Israel, I think as goes many things. It's really a center point of the world, if you consider. Recently, the UN just took up a vote, and they voted 138-9 to allow Pakistan the state status. The Palestinians, I should say, the state status, statehood status. And of course, you know and I know, you can learn it. If you want to go by the evening news, you want to go by the internet, you just go by the scripture. You know and I know that these folks have only one agenda, and that is to drive Israel into the sea. Second agenda, that is to turn our country into a sinkhole. So I would suggest to you that you be in much prayer for the nation of Israel. They would like to. The vote also said that they would get half of Jerusalem. Now, if you remember your history, back about 65 years or so ago, the Palestinians, they were given the opportunity in 1947, if my math is correct, when Israel, it was voted that they would become a nation. The Palestinians were also given that status as well, and they refused it. They turned it down, because they are not in kinship with the Jew or with Israel. And since that time, they have worked hard and fast and continually to not just make a dent in the nation of Israel, but their heart's desire is to decimate the nation of Israel. So you pray much that our country continue to be an ally and a friend, because they need one. And you pray much that God would speak to the hearts of the Jewish nation. They would look to the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize their need for a personal Savior. Amen? And so we're going to be praying tonight. That's going to be the top line tonight. We'll have other prayer requests, but we'd love to have you come and join us tonight and be in prayer for the nation of Israel. Second Corinthians chapter number 4, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, two verses here with me this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if your gospel be hid, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Another translation lists, but if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be here today. God, we ask and pray that you'd bless each one that has come. And Father, we're grateful that they're here this morning for this opportunity to worship and to sing praise unto you. Father, for our special music, everything that was said and done, our time around the communion table. God, how special that is to each of us who name the name of Christ. Our hearts have been prepared to receive the time of communion. Our hearts are prepared, Lord, to receive your word. Lord, please speak this word into our hearts and our lives this morning. Challenge us as only you can. Lift us as only you might. And Father, direct our paths to be the gospel witness that you'd have us to be. We're grateful as we've come into this Christmas season. And while there have been many attacks already on the very term Christmas, Father, I pray that you help us to take advantage of this wonderful season that we have to live our faith and to call people to Christ. For as one wrote many years ago, he is the reason for the season. It's not the gifting, but it's the getting of Jesus Christ into our lives. Bless us this day, and Holy Spirit of God, I pray that if there be one here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ, man, woman, young person, that you would speak to their heart. Pray for us, Lord, this morning as believers, that we would stand tried and true in these days in which we live. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. But if our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, if our gospel be hid, listen what God has to say, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious or the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. The annals of ancient history reveal that oftentimes conquerors in their might put out the eyes of their enemies when they were captured in war. This was the fate of Samson. You remember Samson? His fate when he fell into the hands of the Philistines in Judges, the 16th chapter, verse number 21, the Bible said, then the Philistines took him, that is Samson, took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. This cruelty was also inflicted on a king by the name of Zedekiah, when he fell into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of Babylon. In 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 7, the Bible says, then they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him with bronze fetters, and took him to Babylon. I believe as we read the scripture and as we study through the word of God that one of the most diabolical works of the demonic forces of Satan is that in which he blinds the minds of people who are lost, lest the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ should shine into their hearts that they might be saved, that they might know for sure that their sins are forgiven and that heaven is their home. I think this explains why so many go through life without ever responding to the good news message of Jesus Christ. We find this verse in front of us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them who are lost. But to really understand that, we read, in whom the god of this world, or the god of this age, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. It's interesting how you come across some people, you talk to them, and they live their own life like they're their own man, they're their own woman, they're their own person. They call the shots. When they're ready to make a decision, they'll make the decision. Nobody controls them. Nobody holds sway over them. And yet, the Bible informs us, to those without Christ, there is sway being held over them. Whether they want to admit this or not, the Bible says that the enemy of God, the Bible says that the devil, the Bible lets us know that Satan himself, with all the force of demonic power behind him, has blinded the minds of those who know not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, all the more reason for us, when we go out and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, sometimes people say, Pastor, I handed out the tract, or I shared this little witness, I talked a little bit, and it didn't seem like anything happened. Well, one of the things, sometimes we have people look at themselves like, wow, I'm not adequate, or I don't have the power, or I can't do it. Well, one of the great things I find is that the Bible tells us that the Word of God will not come back void to us. Amen? It'll not pass away void. There's power in the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and we believe that with all of our heart. The Word of God, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, it's the sword of the Spirit, and we believe that with all of our heart. But when we go to witness for some, and sometimes we find it a little more of a challenge, I believe we always need to know that there is a God of this age that works against our lip and life to try to demonstrate a saving knowledge, a saving power of Jesus Christ to family, friend, and foe alike, that they might be saved. So there's a few things we'd like to take mention with you this morning, and we refer to this as the devil's blindfolds. The devil's blindfolds. Number one, the devil blinds the minds of people to the terrible consequences of sin and their need for salvation. Now, this should not be strange to us. This should not be foreign to us. From the very beginning of human history, we read in the Word of God that Satan has sought to create the impression that sin is not serious. I take you back to the first couple. I take you back to the first man, Adam, to the first woman, Eve, the mother of all living. I take you back to Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent said to the first couple, "You will not surely die." But what did God say? God said, you can have from every tree in the garden except that one. For the time that you partake of that tree, you will surely die. You will be separated in your relationship with Almighty God. And here comes Satan at the very beginning. Lies are not a new thing. Deception is not a new thing. It's one of the largest tools in his workshop, in his toolbox, but it goes all the way back to the beginning when he said to the first woman, first man, you will not surely die. Satan continues to use this big lie. He continues to use this deception concerning sin, and unfortunately, people seem to fall over it every single time. God speaks much about sin. God's Son died on the cross, not some stranger, not an angelic being, not just somebody that happened to be going down the hallways of heaven, but God's only begotten Son. The sin of the world meted out on his body. You say, preacher, I know that. Let it sink to the core of your being. Sin. Satan continues to use this. He continues to try to share a belief that one can sin and escape suffering. He continues to share a belief that you can sow your wild oats in youth and you'll never reap a harvest. He continues to sow a belief that you can play with sin and still win. He continues to share the belief, and others believe still, that they can step from morality into immorality without experiencing hurt, without experiencing suffering, without experiencing pain. He says, you can sin, it will be all right. Tell that to the Son of God on the cross. Tell that to those over the millennia who have knelt at that cross, receiving Jesus Christ with tears coming down their face and heartfelt emotion as they brought their sin to the Savior. And if you'll listen within your own spirit, if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God that has moved into your heart, if you will listen to the Spirit of God and not quench Him and not hold Him back and not grieve Him, He will only affirm to you what we're mentioning this morning about the degradation of sin upon the lives of all. With all the cunning of hell, Satan encourages people to treat sin lightly. We see it today over and over and over again. We live in a day, as we said before, as the Bible says, we live in a day when people call good evil and they call evil good. When has God ever condoned from His word to you that it should go through us that sin is ever good? Second blindfold. The devil blinds the minds of people to the joys of being a child of God. Some believe that if they become a child of God, they can no longer have any fun. Well, I'd become a Christian. I'd become a Christ follower. But that means I'll have to give up A, B, C, D. Gee, I won't be able to have fun. Well, you know what? I've been a Christian for almost 37 years. And I'm still having fun. But my idea of fun is now related more to God's idea of fun rather than my sinful thoughts of what fun was. But I'm still having fun. For some reason, there are those that associate being a Christian with being drab, monotonous, boring way of life, that Christianity is only for sissies, and that real men and real women do not need God. No, you know what I found out over the years of being a Christian? Real men and real women recognize they have a great need for God. The unsaved are blind to the joys of sonship. They don't recognize how wonderful it is to be a child of God. The unsaved are blind to the security of the perfect peace that comes to those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Why, they might live a life today seeking security in their own personal achievements. They might live a life today seeking security in the pursuit of financial securities and happiness, but they fail to realize a great truth. That if you're a child of God today, if you're a Christian, you're a Christ follower, you realize this as you've read and studied the Word of God. They fail to recognize that the only real security and peace that one can have is that which is to be found only in the grace of the living God. And without Him, people search around peace, peace, when there is no peace, because they have no God. The unsaved are blind to the joys of the Christian life. Their lives are incomplete and unhappy. You say, well, I know folks that are unsaved and they seem to be very happy for the moment. It's like when you bought the new automobile, you were very happy with the size of those tires. Wow, those fancy rims. Get in that car, shut the door. Ooh, fine tooled leather. Turn on that sound system. Boom, boom, boom. You don't have to start the car. It drives itself to every beat. Boom, 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 boom. Going down the road. But then one day something happened. Remember when you first got it? No eating and drinking in this car. Do you remember that? You remember that. But one day something happened. It wasn't as new anymore. And before long, that which you had brand new that you thought made you happy, you realize it's not as new, and hence you're not quite as happy as you once were with that. But you know what? That's just a simple illustration. We do that with everything in life. Everything in life, if we'll admit it. It was Rockefeller who was asked, "How much money will it take to make you happy?" He said, "One more dollar. one more dollar. The unsaved are blind to the joys of happiness. Constantine said, quote, "The God void is in every human heart." See, we have a void that only Almighty God can fill. There's another thing I see. The unsaved are blind to the joys of Christian service. They can't understand. They cannot understand why the children of God regularly go to the house of prayer for worship and to study the Word of God and to fellowship with believers, why there is sacrificial living, why there is sacrificial giving on the part of a Christ follower. They don't have the appetite, nor do they have the appreciation of the things of God. They just don't get it. And before you're tempted to have a hairstyle like mine because you're scratching your head trying to figure out why, remember this: the God of this age has blinded their minds. Another blindfold. The devil blinds the minds of people to the power of the gospel. The gospel, remember Romans 1:16, it was a memory verse all last month. The gospel in Romans 1:16 is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What is the power of God unto everyone who believes? The gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news message of Jesus Christ. With that, then that tells me, again, I'm not a brainiac here, but that tells me that without the gospel, there is no good news. And Satan keeps them blinded to the fact that God wants to come in and deliver them from the power of evil and that which exalts itself against God. Number four, the devil blinds the minds of people to the wonder of God's love. I see this. I hear this. You do too. Many are under the impression today that God is against them. Well, if the man upstairs would just cut me a break. You ever heard that? Oh, I just feel like the moment I get outside my door, there's a big thumb on my head. Everywhere I go. You know, I want to say to people, yeah, don't you think God's got better things to do than to put his thumb on your head? And I guarantee you, if God decided to put his thumb on your head, you're not going anywhere. You will not be moving. But the devil uses his blindfold to the minds of people to wonder about God's love. By that I mean it seems too good to be true to them. That God would love them so much. That God would care for them in such a gracious and sacrificial manner as sending his son to die for their sin. You want to blow their mind? You want to blow a person's mind whose mind is blinded by satanic force? You let them know that if you were the only person on the planet, Christ would have died on a cross for you. You talk about important. Every single one of God's creation, important to Almighty God. And so this is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the purpose behind the ministry of Jesus Christ. He came to reveal. He came to reveal the truth that God does love the sinner and that God's purposes toward the sinner are purposes of love. And if you've trusted Christ, you know exactly what we're talking about. Fifth blindfold. The devil has blinded the minds of people to the simplicity of the way of salvation. People have accepted a materialistic view of life. People have accepted a commercialized way of life. By that I mean they believe that they must purchase or that they must merit somehow in their own doing every good thing. They refuse to believe, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. They refuse to believe that. Who could love me that much? And I think, beloved, truth be told, this is where some of us kind of fall along the wayside, even as believers. I mean, this verse, Romans 6:23, if we're not careful, it becomes a yawn to us. Well, the wages of sin is death. Well, that's why I've trusted Jesus Christ my Savior. But we forget the gift of God. We forget the gift of God. We forget the gift of God. This is not something that God had to do. This is not something that you could stand before your Creator and say, God, you've got to do something because you know who I am. No, we all understand the terminology of the gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't buy it. You couldn't pay for it. You couldn't do anything that you wanted to achieve it. It is just what God calls it, a gift. They can understand how that the wages of sin is death, but somehow they find it difficult to believe that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there's our gospel in a nutshell, right? John 3:16, you know the verse. God gave his Son that through him we might not perish but have everlasting life. And as I said earlier, the Christmas season is a wonderful time to share the gospel. Let me conclude by saying this. The devil will use many things to blindfold individuals from seeing their need for the grace of God. He does it all the time. He does it in your family. He does it in mine. He does it to your friends. He does it in mine. He does it in your workplace. He does it where I go. All the time. I think it's time for us this morning to cast off these blindfolds and come face to face with our own need. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, cast off the blindfold. Why do you continue to let Satan have his way in your life? Cast off the blindfold. Say, Satan, you have no control of my life anymore. See, either Satan has control of your life or the Lord Jesus Christ has control. Either you're a child of the devil or you're a child of God. That's what God tells us in his word. You say, preacher, that sounds a little bit unkind. No, we're not trying to be unkind. That's just the Bible. That is God's love letter to us. He doesn't want you following after the things of the devil any longer. Child of Satan, he gave Jesus Christ that you might get your sin forgiven, heaven your home, and become a child of the living God. So what do we do? One, look at the cross. See how Jesus suffered and died so that he might be your Savior and Lord. You know, I think part of this too, we talk about, you may be here this morning and don't know the Lord. Sometimes I call this evaluating your comparison. Evaluate your life in comparison. Sometimes we do this. We evaluate our life in comparison to somebody else, another human being. And that, you know, that's so wrong. The Bible says in the scripture, they that compare themselves by themselves are not wise. God's word says that. So if you're going to evaluate your life in comparison, for instance, well, I'm pretty faithful to church. I'm more faithful than that person. Well, let's put your life of faithfulness to church up against the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and his faithfulness to worship. How do you stack up? Well, I pray hard, and I'm a great prayer warrior, and I pray just as much as the next person, maybe not more so. Let's put your prayer life up against the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you stack up? Well, I believe in witnessing, and I share my faith, and I share it more than that woman does or more than that man does. Okay, wait a minute. Let's evaluate your life in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ. How does your witness life stack up? See, this is what I'm saying. That's why we are encouraged in Scripture to look at the cross. Look at the cross and see how Jesus suffered and died so that he might become the Savior. Number two, consider the issues and values of eternity. What are the issues and values of eternity? Number three, recognize the emptiness and incompleteness of a life lived without God. Recognize, if you will, the emptiness and incompleteness of a life lived without God. Number four, face up to the fact that without God, the influence of your life will be such as to lead others away from God, not to God. Number five, become keenly aware. Here it is. Become keenly aware of the brevity of life and the certainty of death. James 4:14 says, "For what is your life?" God says, "It is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and then, poof, vanisheth away." That's your life. I was reading the other day of Billy Graham Ministries, and they're planning a big one more last event, maybe next November, around the time of the birthday of evangelist Billy Graham. Next November, he'll be 95 years of age. And they're putting on a program, and he's going to be speaking at 95 with music and other things going on. But he's preparing. He has a word. And he said his word is the same message that he gave from the time he got saved. He said, whether you agree, I did this, this, this. But the message is, believe on the gospel of Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He said, that's what I want to share. That's what I want to give. But you know, as I listened to him, as I listened to what was said, I thought, wow, 95 years. Do you know 95 years is not a drop in the bucket compared to eternity? It's not a grain of sand, one single grain of sand in comparison to eternity. And so this is why James would remind us we need to be keenly aware of the brevity of life. Well, you know what? Preach, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll get saved tomorrow. I'll serve God tomorrow. I'll give him my life tomorrow. You might not have tomorrow. So do it today. Realize, lastly, the eternal significance of the present. That is, your decision today affects your tomorrow. Your decision to trust Christ today gives you a home in heaven for tomorrow. Your decision to turn your back on Christ and reject him and continue living after the devil, as a child of the devil, affects your decision tomorrow. You know what the decision tomorrow will be? If you reject Christ today, a Christless eternity. Don't do that. Let the thoughts penetrate. Let them throw off the blindfolds of the devil so that the light of the glorious gospel can shine in. Christian, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. John chapter 10. We used a little acronym for joy, and I think about joy. We sang on the screen this morning, joy to the world, the Lord has come. The acronym for joy, Jesus, others, you. That would be our Christmas message today. Jesus, others, you. Throw off the blindfolds that even the devil would try to put on you, child of God. That you forget that life for the child of God is all about living for Jesus Christ. Make that known today. Be the Christ follower he'd have you be as you follow after him. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask and pray now as we leave this place, as we get ready for our Sunday school classes, God, that you would just speak to hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you this morning, maybe there's one here today, you say, preacher, I do not know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Friend, if I could get down on my knees and beg you, if I thought it would do any good, that's exactly what I'd do. I'd beg you to give your life to Jesus. That's the seriousness of a life lived without the Savior. If you died today, you die in your sin, and you're eternally, forever, everlasting, separated from God. Don't do that. He loves you. Love him back. You say, I'm not sure I could love him the way he wants to be loved or would desire me to love him. Get saved. Give your heart to Christ. And he can teach you, and he can show you by example what true love is all about. Christian, don't let the devil hinder you. Don't let him stop you from being a witness. Don't let him stop you from living the Christian life. Christ-centered, gospel-saturated, but give him your all. With heads bowed, maybe there's somebody here today, say, preacher, would you pray for me? I need Jesus as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that this morning? Just slip your hand up, put it down. I'd want to pray for you. Anyone like that today? Will you trust Christ today? Christian, will you in your heart commit to God that having done all to stand, you will stand for Christ in these days in which you live. It's my prayer that you will. Let's help one another do that with the help of God.